want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you. Lord, that you would help us bring glory and honor to you in all that we do. Father, we just pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us the words we need to hear. Help us apply them to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. To open our Bibles to John chapter 12. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus saith unto him, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be filled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and who hath heard? Who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on them. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus went on here in verse 48, and it says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Christ came into this world. And he said here in John that the judgment of this world has come. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Whenever man was created, God created him for himself. He created him as a creation, as a being for himself. And he gave man a will to choose. He wasn't just a robot. We are not created as robots. We have a will. We have a choice to make choices. We are beings that have the ability to make a choice of right and wrong, who we're going to serve. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he gave him a choice of who he would follow. Whenever God put man in the garden, he created a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and told man not to eat of it. Whenever God had this garden, and he told him not to eat of the tree of good and evil, he said, in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. That tree, before man was created, man could not do anything that was wrong. If whatever he did, just like an animal, he was just doing what he was created to be. So whatever he did, however he acted, it was the way he was created. That's just the way God made him. But whenever he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then he became aware of right and wrong. And he became a responsible creature for his own actions at that point. He chose to partake of something that didn't belong to man. Wasn't supposed to be a part of his nature. But he partook of it, so that he became aware of right and wrong. Satan tempted man to obey him, and man became the servant of Satan at that point. He chose to follow. The Bible said that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. The day that you eat, you'll die. You know, when we think of death, we think of something that's bad. I mean, death scares us. Man is afraid of death because it's something that we don't know about. People have thought about death and they think, you know, what's going to happen? They're afraid. They don't want to leave this life. And they have the idea that when we die, we're gone. You know, whenever a body dies, the Bible says that we were created a living soul. What God has put in order, what He's created, will never end. It's something that will just go on and on and on forever. God creates something and it becomes living. It does not cease to exist. And when God created man in the Garden of Eden and told him that he was going to die, he didn't say that you will cease to exist. He said that he would die. And whenever Adam partook of the fruit, the Bible says that in the day that you eat thereof, you will die. We know that Adam went on to live almost 1,000 years. But he died. Death is separation. Being separated from God. When man died, he became separated from God. And he became joined to Satan. Satan became his ruler. Satan became his God, as it were. And man has been afraid of God ever since. Out of his own concern, he's been afraid of God. He's scared of God. And God will judge Satan and those who follow him. So there's a reason for that fear. There is going to be a day of judgment. And we will all stand before our God. Man, being separated from God, still has an existence, still has a life. And man, separated from God, just lives his life how he sees fit. The survival of the fittest. Just like an animal, except with a conscience for what he's done to someone else. Just like an animal, but yet with a knowledge of knowing when he's done wrong that God has instilled because of eating of that tree. When a man in this life is living his life as a dead man, separated from God. This world that you see is a dead world. They're separated from God. They're dead. No matter how much glory and glamour it looks, it's dead because it's separated from God. Death has entered into this world. And God, in His mercy and in His grace, has offered us an opportunity to return back to Him. Not only did He create us to serve Him, not only did He create us so that we belong to Him, He offered us an opportunity now to return. The grace that God has extended to man, the opportunity for us to return back to Him. We wouldn't have that in ourselves. Sometimes I just marvel at why God has given me a little bit of an opportunity to see. Why God has reached down in this world and I see all the millions and millions of people in the world, and why do I care? Why did God's grace get a hold of me? Why am I concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity? Why is religion just not good enough for me? Why is this world just not good enough? I just think of some of the things, some of the times that I've thought, why? And I just sit and wonder at God's grace and His mercy. I look at people and I see how some just don't care, so brazen, so cold. Some of the things that go on in the world, people can just kill and hurt and murder, and they just seem to have no care or no concern at all. And I just think, I could be just like that. That could be me. One man saw a drunk stumbling down the road and he said, "But for the grace of God, there I go." Whenever I was young and went out into the world, I was proud. And I grew up going to church and I thought I would never do anything like that. I would never do any of those bad things that I've heard about people doing. And within a few years, I was doing everything that I thought I would never do. God, I believe, left His hand off of me for a while and just let me see what I was capable of and what I was and where I would be without Him. And after a while, He began to show me again that I could return. I could follow Him and be redeemed even from what I'd been. That's His grace. That's His mercy. We talk a lot about obedience and our responsibility and doing what's right. And it is our responsibility. And it is. We will be judged by our own actions and how we do and how we live. But without God's grace offering us the opportunity to repent and to turn, there is no hope for us, no matter how good we try to be. I read so many times in the Bible that whenever He opens up an epistle or they say, "Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His mercy, in His grace, or by His grace." And they're thankful for that because it means something. They're rejoicing because of this great tiding that He's given, the peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That's God's tidings to us. He is good. And He's offering and extending these mercies and these goodnesses and graces to us. Now just often, I mean, that's just all through here. That the men who heard His message were thankful and were glad for that grace that was extended to them. So many today are just abusing that grace and trampling the cross. But let's not forget about it. It's still real. The little song, I mention it all the time, but it's, Lord, show me where You brought me from. Lord, remind me I'm human. Remember, I'm human. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. I just think, just looking back, almost everyone that I really looked up to and ran around with as I was pursuing after this world is dead, and they all died young, living after this world. They died in sin. They died reaching for what this world had to offer. And I don't know why He spared me, but I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for His mercy and for His grace. That He sent forth His Son to come into this world. Jesus talked about here that if you've seen Me and you believe on Me, it's not Me you're believing in, it's the Father you're believing in. Because this is who He is. This is who He is. It's not enough that we just have the right theology. That's just sickening to me how quickly, how much people have their confidence in what they believe. That they believe the truth. And that if you don't believe the exact same way they do, you just cannot even be a Christian at all. They have so much confidence in what they believe that they believe the right way and everybody else is wrong. They've got their hope not in God but in their theology and in their doctrines. And that's so blinding. That's so blinding. People trust. I've just heard people say that, you know, whenever we're preaching, that someone will come by and we'll have a message about the party ends in hell. And people, I don't know how many people have come by, oh, I'm not going to hell. I don't want to. I'm not going to hell. That's a bad place. Like they're very deeming it that they don't want to go there means that they won't go there. Just because they believe some fact, therefore they're not going. Just because they say they don't want to go there, so they won't go. What foolishness. What confidence people have in themselves. Believing, because hell's a bad place, that they won't go there. That's deception. Jesus said, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So many people have so much confidence that they're saved. So much trust that if they just believe, they'll be saved. Jesus is the judge. Paul said, I don't even judge my own self. And I think that's what he's talking about. It's not me going to judge myself. Christ is going to be the judge in His words. Not because of what Adam did. Not because of the sin that we've committed. Not because we were in bondage to Satan. Men are going to be judged because Christ came into this world and overcame Satan. Christ came into this world and bought us back. He bought us back. And we have a choice. Whether we want to return to our God who offered such grace and mercy, or we want to stay in bondage to this world and Satan and its king. Whether that's through fearfulness, through seeking our own pleasure, through getting caught up in what this world offers, being entangled again, just neglect, whatever the case may be. The reason there'll be anger on Judgment Day is because of what Jesus did. The reason God's wrath is poured out is because mercy has been extended and men neglected it. Men despised it. Men rejected it. They didn't want it. They see God's mercy and God's love, and they say, oh, I'll believe it. And then because they love the praise of men, or they love their own selves, they mock it. You're bought with a price. You are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. We all think that we belong to ourselves, but we don't. You belong to somebody else. You belong to your Creator. You're not your own. It's not your life just to see what you can do with it. It's not your life to see how successful you can be. It's not your life to see what you can gain in this world. It's not your life to see how much you can accumulate or see how easy you can make your life for you or your family. That is not what you were created for. That is not what you've been handed. You weren't Adam. But the life that you've been given is from God. And you are not your own. And not only that, He paid another price for it. You're twice bought His. You're twice bought His. Satan is defeated. We don't belong to ourselves. We owe our lives to Him. That martyr's eyes that we sing about pierce through into eternity. This world gets pretty cloudy. This world gets pretty dark. Our vision gets pretty dim. We get pretty cold. We get pretty calloused. We get pretty unconcerned. But there's one reason we've been put on this earth. There's one reason why we exist right now. And that is to prepare ourselves to be with God forever. And if we're not prepared, we won't be there. It's not about making one decision here or there, or feeling whether I'm saved, or knowing whether I'm saved. That don't mean one thing, because you're not the judge anyway. It's you preparing yourself for eternity, because Christ bought you. Because God created you to be that, to do that. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've said. Doesn't matter where you've been. You have the time now to start fixing yourself. And that is the only goal in your life. That should be the only thing in your life, is viewing eternity. It's so easy to get caught up in the cares of this life, to forget about those things. So easy to get caught up with things, maintaining, keeping up, keeping all the stuff we've got guarded and protected. It's just so easy. Those things just choke us. We need to guard against them. Don't let them choke out that vision of eternity. We're not here to fix things. We're not here to make things run good. We're here to prepare to meet our God. Jesus, they talked about in this passage, said they talked about Him. Well, this can't be Him, because He said He would never see death. Their death was this body. When Jesus overcame death, you and I, if we're faithful to Him, won't taste death. Won't taste being separated from Him. We'll go right from this life into His presence. It's not a ceasing to exist. It's changing. Leaving this body behind. And going right to be with Him. Those who die that are dead will go right into a complete separation from Him. Jesus, when He died, He left His body. But He was still at one with God. He overcame Satan. He was still at one. Spiritual death, something that we don't hardly recognize, is more real than physical death. Don't be deceived by the hope that you've been brought up right or that you're just believing the right way or that you're just a part of a church that believes the right way. Lay all those things aside. We've been given the opportunity to prepare for eternity, to walk in His steps. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, help us, Lord, to be faithful to You. Lord, help us remember where You brought us from. Help us be on guard in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Have anything you want to share? God bless you. Yeah.
Lord.